KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, featuring stories of people of the valley, produced by media communications and journalism students at Fresno State, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, I'm Brittany Sosa.
And I'm Talia Redondo. Thank you for joining us this morning for Fresno State Focus Radio Edition. This show is a special one. We've switched gears up and decided to go outside of our comfort zone.
For the next 2 weeks, we've crossed borders. And instead of stories only from the Central Valley, we've branched out to the rest of the world. Today's show is from a project that we've been working on with universities in Lebanon, Germany, England, and India. It's called the Global E-News Immersion Initiative, or GENI for short. We've partnered with students in other countries who are helping us tell stories about their lifestyles and culture.
We begin with the Coventry University professor who developed the GENI project. Judith Saldivar talked with Priya Rajazikar about the project and how it came into being.
Good morning, everyone. We are talking with Priya Rajazikar, the project coordinator for the GENI Global E-News Immersion Initiative project. She's going to talk to us a little bit about what journalism students in different countries have been working on for the past couple months.
So I have been working on a few international projects with some other colleagues over the past few years. And I'm also keenly interested in the disruption of journalism by technology. The one thing that struck me was, though people were using all of these different devices in very innovative ways, what wasn't really happening was, the cultural gaps that exist between societies, that wasn't narrowing as much as we would think would happen once technology reaches all levels of society, where people even in rural India have remote places have access to the internet. One would think that it would go for an equitable distribution of information. But what had happened, which is not news, is that the information flow has been more from the more dominant societies to the less dominant ones, and that hasn't really helped bridge cultural understanding and breaking of stereotypes and things like that. So I'm just wondering if a project like this would help students go out of their way and get immersed in the storytelling. So you have immersive storytelling where the reader or the consumer gets immersed in the story, but in the immersed version of reporting, the person who reports or produces content is immersed in a different society and then learns about them before he writes about them. And I thought that might make a big difference.
Okay, so if you could tell me what you would say the purpose of this project is.
The purpose, yeah, like I said, students have a great potential to interact. They have open minds. They aren't bound by the same limitations that big media houses are. So they are willing to explore things more liberally. They're not curtailed by agenda and other things that do hold back media houses. They don't have limitations on funding or time. They do, but not to the same extent because they're not paid by the hour, so to speak. So I just thought students would be an ideal group for this kind of an experiment. And more, I think, no longer us. It's not just students learning about the media industry, it's students leading the media industry. The student group is actually leading the way by coming up with innovative ideas of doing things. And I thought that student involvement in this project would then be a trendsetter for what the industry could possibly do in terms of having more of their reporters do this kind of immersed reporting with the sole purpose of helping bridge cultural gaps and promote understanding and sensitivity.
How many participants are there and how many universities?
I think roughly we have over 130 participants from about 6 universities taking part in the GENI project.
And then where are the universities from? Or which are the universities?
Yes, so most of these universities have been part of earlier projects. So we have got Asian College of Journalism, which has about 40 to 40, 50 students taking part in the project now. And I have been associated with ACJ in the past. I used to work there before. Then we've got Fresno State University from Fresno, California. And then we've got Rafiq Hariri in Lebanon, University of Stuttgart. And of course, Coventry University, which is hosting this project.
Okay, and has the project turned out like you hoped?
Actually, it has. We knew when we did the pilot version a few months ago on the elderly that this was a model that could be very powerful as long as the people that were involved in it were all open to the challenges that this project brought with it. And of course, every time we are learning new things. So we now know that this project works best when you're taking on simpler themes. So we adopted lifestyle and culture for this iteration, and I think that's worked really well. We have had some challenges, the biggest one being in the area of communication, because students have been having trouble getting through to their project partners. The time zone is a big issue, because when one group is sleeping, the other is awake, and it's quite difficult to coordinate things that way. But in the real world, things do not happen like that. We cannot wish an earthquake to not happen thousands of miles away. We cannot wish for a political rebellion to happen thousands of miles away. This news in the real world does happen that way, and I think that in time, as students get more involved in the project, they would face up to these challenges and rise to the occasion. So yes, I do think that this project is one that cannot go wrong. We will be making mistakes through the way, and every mistake would be a learning opportunity. And the students that have had good experiences have come back with very interesting stories. So I've been very happy with the progress of the project so far. And like I said, we're learning all the way.
So what are some of the story ideas that have come about with the partnership of the students?
Yeah, that's the beauty of this project, because we try not to control what the students can write or cannot write about. And students being young, having a very young, new perspective, come up with some brilliant ideas sometimes, and we simply cannot measure up to that kind of stuff. So there have been some stories on serious issues like the caste system in India, or female gender equality, things like that. We've had some fun stories on music and culture and that sort of thing. We've had some stories around films. Film industry is a big deal everywhere, and I think it kind of unites the world, so to speak. We've also had interesting stories on themes like architecture, and I think one student did attempt to do a story on 3D printing, which is a very interesting topic, in my opinion.
And how long has this project been around?
We started mid-October. We are due to complete on the 1st of December. We hope to have a published version with all the stories available by the 15th of December.
Okay, and do you think you'll continue on with this project?
Yes, I do think that this is a project that will be ongoing. Every year we hope to have a fresh cohort taking this up, and we might add things to it, we might take away things from it, but as an idea, I think we all agree that it does have merit, and we would like to keep doing it.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit of what your role is in this project?
This project cannot have been done without the other tutors, the other students being involved in it. So my role is just the same as everybody else's, not being the weakest link, trying to strengthen the offering, trying to be there, trying to work as a team. So I can't single myself out and say that I did this. There's nothing that I could have done without the help of the entire community that is working on this project. So I think that would be what my role is, just what everybody else has been doing, trying to make things work, trying to build bridges, trying to find ways to do things, supporting as best as we can as tutors, things like that. I'm really keen to read what the students have to say, because I know that we've been hearing a lot about how it's difficult to communicate and all of that, but a part of me is hoping that once the stories are published, students would then come back and also share the positive experiences that they've had. And I think that's the sort of thing that we need to kind of set an example of how things can be done with projects like Genie. So I am looking forward to some good news, and I hope there's some good news at the end of all of this.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Priya.
Thank you. Thanks, Judith.
In addition to the following stories, we will also be sharing more stories next week. I'm Judith Saldivar.
So my experience with the Genie project, it's been a pretty good road. I thought it was a great idea to be working with students from a different country and being able to interact with someone that you don't know but is also doing something similar over there.
So what have you learned working with the students from, what, Lebanon?
Yeah, I was working with my partner's from Lebanon, and just like their culture and how different things are over there compared to over here, like the atmosphere they live in and just...
If we take a trip around the world, I believe everything is a lot different than California. Yeah,
definitely. Our first Genie story comes from Germany. Reporter Alexis Govea teamed up with a student from Stuttgart to find out more about the wine craze there.
Anja Schaefer is a Stuttgart native who has always had a love for wine.
My parents own a winery, so I grew up with that. I saw how my parents are passionate for wine.
Schaefer studied wine business and is now working as a sales manager assistant at the biggest winery in Stuttgart, Kollegium Württemberg.
I think what's important about Germany and wine is that we have a lot more red wine than white wine. And especially in our region, it's like we have 70 or 75% of red wine.
The reason why red wine is made more often is because the soil and the effect the climate has on it. The type of soil is important to the finished products, aroma, and taste. Just like in the United States, climate has a huge impact when it comes to winemaking in Germany.
Bad weather, for example, if it's very cold and everything's freezing, you could possibly lose a big part of the harvest. So, or if it's really rainy, and it depends on in which time of the year, which weather is, so the grapes can grow good or bad.
Schaefer says there isn't necessarily a favorite wine in Stuttgart.
We have a specific grape that's called Trollinger, and we only grow that in our region, so it's kind of our grape, our wine.
Some aspects of winemaking in Germany are the same as in the United States, however, some differ.
I think what's different is how they produce it in the cellar. We have different rules here of things we are not allowed to use, and they are allowed to use them in the US, for example. So I think that's the difference, the main difference. I know what's very popular and allowed in the US is to use wood chips to give the wine a taste of wood. You're allowed now to use it in Germany, but we don't use it that much.
In the United States, it is common for people to drink wine from a stem glass, but Schaefer says in her region, they have a special glass cup with a handle on it.
We have many wine festivals and stuff like that around here, and you get, if you buy their wine, you often get the glasses with the handle. But it's you have different bottle sizes, so you have the bottles that contain 1 liter of wine, and you have the smaller ones. And usually they use the glasses with the handle for the wine from the bigger bottles.
The festival where she works includes wine tasting as well as traditional music, and says she loves being a part of it.
What I like in the last years is that more and more younger people are coming to these festivals. It's not like a few years ago there were only older people like 50 and older, but now you can watch young people 18, 19, 20 going to these festivals, and that's really cool.
When asked if she'd go back, she said...
Every day.
Yeah. 24/7.
For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Alexis Govea.
My genie partner is from Rafiq Harar University in Beirut, Lebanon. After talking with him for a while, we decided to concentrate on a type of music called Ataba.
In the U.S., we listen to all types of music, such as rap, R&B, country, and pop. Students around the world listen to the same music, but they also listen to their own country's music. As part of the Genie Project, I had an opportunity to work with Omar Ashlan. He is an engineering student at Rafiq Harar University in Beirut, Lebanon. We decided to compare music styles in Beirut and the U.S., and I focused on Ataba. This is the type of music that people my age, the early 20s, listen to in Lebanon.
Okay, so he said that this kind of music, Ataba, is it's like poem, you know, like It's like I told you before, it's like freestyling, you know? Like, you know, face to face, he just says what's on his mind.
Tariq Youssef is an inspiring singer of Atba.
Okay, he says it makes him feel high, you know, happy, and that, you know, it makes him feel comfortable, and it like says the reality.
Youssef says Atba is more meaningful than American rap.
شو السؤال؟
شو الفرق بين هيدا النوع من الأغاني والأغاني الأمريكية؟
شو الفرق بين السماء والأرض؟
He said it's like the difference between the sky and earth.
قلنا هي شو حاطة براسها تعرف؟
Let me tell you what's the difference. This kind of music is like it's expressing your feelings. Or expressing your happiness, or it could even be expressing your sadness, okay, or even your anger, like whatever is on your mind, you just say it, but with a rhyme, you know what I'm saying?
يلا يعني إذا واحدة حلوة قدامي في يقول لها دغري أنت حلوة بطريقة حلوة إذا حزين في عبر عن حالي إني أنا حزين يعني شو ما يكون بفي براسي دغري
like if there's a beautiful girl in front of him. Like he can just stop her and sing for her and says what's on his mind. Like he would describe this girl, but you know, with a rhyme. You know what I'm saying? And like with great meanings. This is the difference between Ma'ateba and American music.
Omar says that out of his 5 roommates, he is the only one who listens to American music.
Yeah. Well, I only listen hip-hop and R&B and rap and this kind of music and trap music. So when I put this kind of music here in this apartment, like all of them get mad and they say to turn it off, you know, like they don't like listening to it. But I don't listen to Arabic music, you know what I'm saying?
Omar also says his roommates listen to Ataba.
Like I don't know, I don't think there's like an English type of music which is the same as this one, you know.
هلا حتى هي العتابة يعني هي 4 أشطور يعني مثلاً 4 جمل 4 sentences يعني.
Okay, عتابة, he's saying it's 4 sentences that you say ورا بعض.
Yeah.
That you say behind each other, like you say them in a sequence.
يعني حتى هي القواعد تبعها ممنوع يكون أكثر من 4.
Even its rules is that they this kind of music shouldn't be more than 4 sentences.
Okay. Well, each sentence should end by say more.
Yeah, and each sentence from those 4 sentences should end with the same word. Like for example, if he says yes in the end of the first sentence, he has to say yes in the end of the 4 sentences.
The big difference between Ataba and American music is the meaning and the words.
يعني العربي معجمة واسع كثير يعني كلمة مثلا آخر شيء سكر في إلها 100 معنى.
Okay.
تغير بس ال تحريك الكلمة يعني سكر وسكر وفي إلها 100 قصة يعني كلها.
Okay, and he said that Arabic dictionary like for each word there are several meanings. Like it's not like English words, you know, when you say drink, it only means to drink. But in Arabic, when you say like he closed, it means he got drunk, he closed, he bashed, and you know.
Even though Ataba and American music have many differences, music is what we all use to deal with everyday life. Brittany Sosa, Fresno State Focus, Radio Edition, KFSR.
What I can say about this experience with working with Omar, I can say that I made a friend. I made a friend across the world, and it's pretty cool because we were able to FaceTime, and now he FaceTimes me a lot, often, and we're pretty cool. I've become really, really good friends with somebody across the world, so if I ever decide that I want to end up in Lebanon, yeah, I'm going to go visit a friend in Lebanon. Hey!
Switching gears now to some of the stories happening in our part of the world. In Lemoore, a woman dedicates her time and life to rescuing dogs and finding them homes. Ryan Smith tells us Stonecliff Animal Rescue is making a difference in animals' lives in the South Valley.
This is Terry Stonehawker, owner and founder of Stonecliff Animal Rescue. It's a no-kill, non-profit organization that rescues dogs and keeps them until they find homes, no matter how long it takes. Kennel technician Dorothy Hamilton says that what Stonehawker is doing is meaningful.
We need more people like Terry in this world because there are so many unwanted animals, and this Stonecliff takes in dogs, and we can rehab dogs and we can get them adopted into loving homes.
These puppies were dumped in a field and left to fend for themselves. Animal control found them. Stonehawker found out and came to their rescue. Now they are thriving and will stay until they find loving homes. Stonehawker says she has found her purpose in life, and that is what has kept her running the shelter since 2003.
That's why I'm here. That's why God put me here.
Oh, say hello.
Darlene Gonzalez adopted a dog from Stonehawker's rescue a little less than a year ago. Tootie was an older dog who might not have had a chance if it wasn't for Stonehawker. Gonzalez is thankful that her poodle Tootie has come into her life.
Miss Terry has a shelter where she can find a home, a loving home for these dogs that shouldn't be put down.
Stonecliff Animal Rescue adopts out dogs of all shapes and sizes. They even take in dogs that might need extra attention or medicine that they wouldn't receive if it wasn't for the rescue.
That was Fresno State Focus reporter Ryan Smith.
State is a school that values distinction and inclusion. The Wayfinders program makes sure that students with intellectual disabilities can live in an independent college experience.
Free Jamel.
Students in the Wayfinders program deal with everything from autism to Down syndrome. Director Shale Lopez-Ortiz says she loves working for this program.
I think because of the nature of our students, what I love are the challenges that we're faced with every day. Every day, they'll tell you, is a new day. We have, our students come in with different personalities and we're dealing with different aspects of their independence.
For freshman Leyland McAllister, the future is bright. He hopes to learn how to live a more independent life.
I've really gotten the chance to be able to find myself in sort of like an actual professional work experience setting.
Beyond This Door is a program that has shown its commitment to students who now live a more independent life. Most students live in the Palazzo Apartments. Case manager Gabriel Diaz will make frequent visits to make sure that students are cooking, cleaning, and attending classes.
For the most part, our students come in trying to promote their independent living skills. So, the big goal is to teach the student how to leave the program and eventually live on their own and have that skill set to do so, in a positive way.
Almost all students in the Wayfinders program move on to live independent lives. Liz Juarez, Fresno State Focus.
That was a pretty cool story. I feel like that it's inspiring to know that Fresno State is actually paying attention to other students. I believe that everybody has an opportunity and a chance if they're just given it. You know what I'm saying?
Just treating everyone the same.
Yeah, it's cool to see that Fresno State is treating everybody equally.
Next week on Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, we will wrap up our special global e-news immersion initiative with a look at what it takes to be a movie critic in India.
We'll also hear about the conflict in Armenia and how one organization is raising funds to rebuild. Fresno State Focus Radio Edition is produced by Professor Faith Sidlow. Our stories and interviews are produced and edited by Brittany Sosa, David Chavez, Alexis Govea, Judith Saldivar, Thalia Arredondo, and Edmer Archila, who is also one of our sound engineers. Natalie Nigg is our executive producer. Music by Kevin McLeod from Incompetech.
This program is produced in collaboration with 90.7 KFSR. For Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, I'm Thalia Arredondo.
And I'm Brittany Sosa. Have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Focus Radio Edition, Saturday mornings at 5. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.